Hello and welcome to another edition of Tech Wrap. I'm Trent. We're online at our website at techwrap.net. And on the other end of the desk, we have Will.
Good morning, Will. Good morning. Lovely day. Sun is shining.
Sun has been shining.
Oh, it's not.
We're recording in the dark.
No, it's a bit night outside.
Except we have full lighting here in this studio.
We have automatic lighting in the building. That's cool. There's a nice piece of tech.
It's a bit of tech innovation. It's
you walk around and the lights automatically come on. Don't even have to fumble around for a light switch. I don't even know where the light switches are in this building.
I do because when I arrived in the building and I worked long hours, I had to turn the lights off at night because no one else would turn the lights off.
Don't they automatically turn off?
They do now.
But back in the day.
Back in the day when I started here, they did not.
Yeah, well, there you go.
In my workplace.
Well, morning or night. Here we are.
Wherever you are, it could be any time of day or night.
Yeah.
But thank you for tuning in to the Tech Wrap podcast. We would love a tweet or a follow or something like that. We do a bit of.
Or a biscuit.
Social media.
Some sweets.
Buy us a beer.
A marshmallow.
Buy us a beer. That's one.
Buy us a beer. When you see us down the street talking, I know those voices. It's those guys.
Should set up one of those little icons on our website, say, buy me a beer.
Yeah. And no one will buy us a beer, though. Oh. Beer's too expensive now.
Oh. But I wanted a beer. Anyway, tweet us anytime you like. Tech Wrap Podcast.
Another big week of tech.
Yeah, let's get into some, hey.
Before we start, I don't know if you were going to mention this, but the Google logo.
The Google logo.
It's not like a huge piece of stuff, so let's just get it out of the way first up.
Yeah.
Google had a redesign of their logo. They say it's the biggest improvement since 1999.
And I don't know about biggest improvement because it's very
16
subtle.
Years ago, they reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I swear there's been some other minor changes along the way. But they've had a complete new redesign, new font, I think.
It's
the sans serif font.
All it really is just a change of font and a smoother edge font than it previously was.
They ignored my suggestions for Comic Sans.
And
my other one was Wingdings.
They would have been nasty.
I was like, let's just make it Wingdings.
Maybe they could do a Wingdings.
You know, it's just the pictures.
Yeah. Maybe they could do a Wingdings-style celebration at an anniversary of fonts for computers.
Yeah, maybe.
Or something like that.
Or some.
But I think, you know, that would be completely ridiculous if you used Wingdings or Comic Sans. Comic Sans makes me cringe. Yeah. Did you know that?
It makes everyone cringe. It's the most ridiculous font. So what do you think about it? Do you like it or what? You're not really too phased by it.
It looks modern, but I'm not phased about it.
This is the biggest news this week. It's the new Google logo.
It's not the biggest news this week.
It's huge. I'm just glad we got to see it in our lifetime. A redesign of this scale. Absolutely incredible. I guess the design thing was for they're trying to get away just used to being on the desktop site, you know. Now that they want the Google thing consistent and easily readable and recognizable across all their devices, no matter what you're viewing it on, you know, really nice and readable on a small device such as a phone, not just on your big monitor.
I can understand that with the content itself, but the logo, like it's really nothing to stand up and go, "Woo, new Google logo! Hey, it's marvelous!" It's not marvelous. It's just smoother and cleaner, and I don't have anything more to say.
By the time you listen to this, if you look at your apps, they're going to update all the apps to the new sort of Google design and colors and things like this. And even if you go to google.com, you see like on your tab, it used to be just the G. Now it's that colored G.
Everything
to do with Google have those, the Google colors incorporated in the logo, whatever it is. So you can easily recognize this is a Google product.
You can now get a colored G-spot on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. G-spots for everyone. And I like it. I think it's very subtle and it does look a bit crisper on the mobile devices.
It's all right, but it's nothing to write home and cheer and.
Did you notice how they did the little crooked E at the end? Everything else is like perfectly straight and then just the E is like a little bit wonky.
That's cool.
It's like they're kind of saying, you know, we're not just geeky tech nerds. We can party as well. Let's crooked that E up a bit. Woo, we're crazy.
You know, there's something more important from Google than Google's logo itself.
What's that?
Chrome. Things that have gone on with Chrome.
Do you use Chrome
this week? Yes, I use Chrome.
I'm a more Firefox kind of guy.
I'm a Chrome guy, even though it's a memory hog. But I have computers that have sufficient memory to the point that Windows can't even use all of the available memory.
So it's not an issue for
me. So I've got a desktop at home that's got 16 gig of RAM. What about the new, I don't ever get near any problems.
What about the new Edge browser that hasn't taken you, Windows 10 Edge browser from Microsoft?
I like a bit of it, but I'm not completely sold on some of the things it does. And I think I would like to, as with other people probably, suggest a few things that they could change to improve it. Like when you open a new tab, the focus isn't immediately on the text box, unlike some other browsers. So if you click to
enter a new website.
Click on a new tab and you want to just start typing away, you've got to click first.
You've
got to
move your whole hand to the mouse or touch the screen. That's annoying.
Yeah, but when you're using, a device in tablet form, it gets a pain in the neck. Especially when you've got an on-screen keyboard.
Even on the computer, if you just like Control T, new tab, or Command T if you're on a Mac. And yeah, if you have to take your hands off the keyboard, ready to type all the way back to the mouse, then back in, that's annoying. Forget Edge.
Yeah, let's figure out we were talking
what's
about
going
Chrome.
On with Chrome.
So Chrome has started the idea of killing off Flash being available in its browser, only in a subtle part. They're starting to block Flash content as of the first of the month that isn't central to the web page. So ads on the sides sides, tops, bottoms, what have you. Auto-playing videos as well that use Flash.
Nice.
They will be paused by default and will still be allowed. You can still enable them, but if you don't want them enabled, they won't be there. And it's an initial way to kill it all off. The ultimate aim will be these browsers won't support Flash and Flash will be grandfathered by, you know, the fact that people don't want to use it anymore.
They've been trying to get rid of Flash for years.
It won't be grandfathered by the company that makes it. It'll be grandfathered by the people that are not keen on it anymore.
Adobe Flash.
It'll just pale into insignificance.
Yes, everywhere trying to move across everything to HTML5.
Yeah.
YouTube's pretty much on HTML5 now. Twitch TV, the big gaming streaming platform, has switched over recently in the last few months to HTML5. Yeah, and Flash, you can't even get Flash on your Android phones or anything.
Yeah. And the other thing they're doing as well with Google Chrome, which is, you know, high time they actually did it, is fix the issues that they've got with memory. Because it's been a big memory leecher over time.
You know, they say they've fixed it. Or
they're fixing it. They're on the way to fixing it. So
it's not quite there yet.
You know, like you open a new tab and it takes up another couple of hundred meg of data. Well, RAM, I should say. And so you do a few tabs and you've used a bit of RAM.
And then the more, if you have like, especially if you have add-ons installed as well.
Oh, yeah. It all adds to it.
Because it opens an instance of that every time of like all your add-ons and stuff and each tab you load. So where some other browser like Firefox contains it all within the one.
Yeah. So they're making some changes and stepping in the right direction, which is fantastic to see because
Chrome's always been growing, hasn't it?
It is a good browser now, but there's still a couple of things that need tinkering with to make it all that more better. And, you know, there will be people who have been sitting on the side going, well, this uses too much RAM. That's the reason why I don't use it. And they might actually, you know, go over to Google Chrome now.
Or just stay on Firefox.
Firefox is doing some good stuff too.
Chrome, I must admit, they do have some nicer add-ons and more sort of like it seems like Chrome has like all the best add-ons and then they seem to sort of then get ported over to Firefox and they're not quite as good or some knockoffs happen to Firefox. But I don't know. I like Firefox for some reason.
I liked Firefox, but I think it might have been one point in time where I was having more problems with that than I was with other browsers. Like compatibility with plugins and compatibility with opening certain web pages and stuff, and I just went, I'm sick of this. I'm going to just go to something which actually works and works most of the time. And I just went over to Chrome. And
there was a time I couldn't decide. I had Chrome and Firefox, and I was kind of using between the two. But I don't know. I just kept leaning towards Firefox for some reason.
There you go.
Do you know what I want to switch over? Get rid of. Netflix, they use Microsoft Silverlight as their player.
Yes.
Silverlight. I want them to hurry up and get over to HTML5. That'd be nice.
That'd be good. And so it would be good as well for the Foxtel application to get away from Silverlight as well. Yeah. They both use Silverlight.
Microsoft Silverlight.
It's got to be down to the finer details of encryption and what have you that they use it. Because who else in the world is using Silverlight?
Hardly anyone. I didn't even know it was a thing, really. Like I've heard about it before, but like I never really found an application or a website that actually needed me to install it. And then I got Netflix. And it's like, you need Silverlight. I was like, no. I went so long without having you installed. Now I have to install
you. Now you have to install it. Yeah. Apple. Had a bit of, well, not even Apple. It wasn't Apple. It was the people who are jailbreaking their phones. They had a bit of fun this week.
They always have all the fun.
You know.
What'd they do? Go up in a hot air balloon and drop their iPhones from the top, capture the video footage, break the phone on the ground.
People do that with GoPros, you know.
Just drop them off the top.
Send them up with balloons and then the balloon pops immediately, like in the horizon and drops to the ground and just lands in some paddock somewhere, and they grab all the footage.
They survive, huh?
Well, yeah, they're pretty tough cookies.
They're durable.
And they put them inside of things too, so they don't just... Poor cow. Imagine if one of those fell on it.
So Apple.
Anyway, Apple users who...
We're a human. Don't worry about humans.
Yeah. Apple.
Worry about the cows. Get is the first thing you think of. Imagine if it hit a cow. That would be tragic.
My food.
Don't worry about a human.
My food.
Might help get to your plate quicker if it kills a cow.
So there are people who jailbreak their Apple phones because they don't like the restrictive nature of some of the things that Apple does. Mm. But Apple does it in the interests of the users not being exploited in most cases. Like apps are approved through an app store to ensure that they're actually not stealing information, you know, illegitimately. So that's exactly what's happened with Cydia and the jailbreaking tool. They have been providing a server with more than 225,000 valid Apple accounts.
Wow.
So someone could have actually hacked these people's Apple accounts and done illegitimate activities, run up credit cards, et cetera, just through the fact that they were jailbroken. Of course, remembering the fact as well that if you jailbreak and you happen to need some support from Apple, you haven't got it if they notice that you've jailbroken your phone.
Is there a way to jailbreak it and not reveal that you have?
Well,
have you ever done this to your phone?
Yeah, you can restore it back to the base image that doesn't have all that jailbreaking
Didn't
stuff on.
Didn't they try
it.
To make that illegal or something in America? Jailbreaking?
I don't know. I don't know. But Apple's always said if we find that you're using jailbroken phones,
void your warranty.
We'll void your warranty. So, but the only time they'd be able to prove that was say if the phone broke while it had jailbroken software on it and you couldn't restore the image.
Hmm.
If it was like faults that I've had in the past, like a microphone playing up, you could restore back to your original image, take it into the Apple Store, and no one would notice. Heck, the guys probably wouldn't even check the software. They just look at the phone to see that you haven't physically damaged it somehow. Go, oh, that's the issue. All right, we'll swap it for a new one, because that's what's happened before when they've looked at problems of mine. Like I've had one with a cosmetical issue. And they looked at, you know, all the usual places, like strips to see if they were void, like moisture tripped or anything.
Yeah.
They looked in and went, yeah, no, that's all right. We'll swap it over.
And so, did you get a new replacement on that
yeah.
unit?
Yeah, on the day.
There you go.
But I think I've had more problems replacing phones in stores than using the Apple Care Express replacement system, which means they put a hold on your card and they send one out via the freight. And then you drop the old one into a box that they've provided and send that back. And then they take the hold off the card when they get it back. And I've got great phones through that service, even though I've had to put a hold on my card. So it works wonders. Anyway, enough of that.
So what's the lesson here from that?
Don't jailbreak your phone. If you feel that you need to be able to customize a phone beyond...
Buy an Android phone. Right?
You are unreal.
Right?
I was going to suggest perhaps if you feel the need to modify your phone like that, perhaps iOS is not for you. Android might be a consideration.
Hey, I was on it.
But I'm not a jerk that just says buy an Android phone, buy an Android phone, buy an Android phone. They're not for everybody.
I'm not saying buy an Android phone, but seriously, do buy an Android phone.
There's been some great things going on with iOS. Like another announcement that came out this week was the fact that Cisco, who of course provide the telephone units that we have in our workplace,
and a lot of
workplaces have these phones these days because they're units that you can put on a desk, plug into the network port of your building, and you can run your computer network through the phone as well. So they essentially take one port instead of making a new phone port for them. And then you can have a rack mounted server device running the software that routes all the phones and everything. And they're easily customizable, easily maintained. You haven't got that big hulking great unit like we do in one control room, which was the actual phone exchange system inside the building.
So what are they doing with Apple?
So they're teaming up with Apple to provide software options for the Apple devices to unify functions on the phone system to the mobile device. So I will, once they get around to releasing the software, I will be able to put a Cisco application onto my phone, and providing that my workplace actually allows me to use that software, I will be able to link my desk phone up with my Apple phone and use features and receive calls.
So is this like a business thing, targeted for business phone
unification software?
So not only have your desk phone in your workplace connected to the network, you can then, say, have a work phone mobile device and have that linked in to your network as well.
Yep, so if you're
syncing
not at your desk.
Your emails, get all your contacts and address books and stuff. Well,
and you're not at your desk,
handy, but
you can answer your work
surely
calls.
Surely there'd be something similar that you could do with Android.
Well, I suppose they'll do some sort of rollout soon, but that was just an announcement that they made. So,
there you go.
And
wow,
crime-fighting dogs.
Crime-fighting dogs.
We have them out. We do have dogs around that can do that.
I love a good animal tech story.
They can find criminals. They can find criminals' illicit substances and paraphernalia. But now there's electronic sniffing dogs.
Wait, robots? Like robot dogs?
No. Real dogs that can sniff USB thumb drives and SD
cards. I thought you were going to say we have robot sniffing dogs. Like robot dogs that replace dog sniffing dogs.
That'd be just weird. So for $9,500 in the US, they've been able to train multiple dogs.
To sniff out electronics?
Per dog, yeah.
What? What odor is emitting from your USB drive?
I don't know. I've never sniffed a USB
drive.
Maybe
you should have one on you because I want to smell it.
No, I don't have one, unfortunately. I don't want to look like a weirdo sniffing my own USB drive.
They've trained a dog to sniff out
electronics. Yeah. Yeah. Which is great.
Is that it? Is that the story?
Labrador Retriever, one of these Labrador Retrievers that have been trained, named Bear. Did you hear the Jared Fogle case?
Yeah,
the Subway spokesman who was doing dirty stuff.
Yeah.
They used a dog to locate thumb drives that was containing, they were containing the, illegal things that he was looking at.
It must be like, because he had them on him, and then they're really picking up on his scent, maybe on an object.
Because
you're not smelling just wires.
No,
and circuit boards.
There isn't wires in USB drives.
Circuit board.
Just circuit boards and plastic and metal and shiz.
How do you train a dog to? It's plastic, right? It's all plastic. How is he not going to smell a monitor or any other device? I don't believe this story.
A USB thumb drive is going to smell different to what a monitor smells like.
But if it's manufactured,
a monitor emits heat.
Varying USB devices, wherever they're made and the materials, you can get metal USBs, you can get plastic USBs, you could probably get you can get 3D printed USBs. Like, there's no way. I don't believe this.
I'd say what
I'm very dubious about this one.
Dubious or
dubious?
Dubious.
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 Yep.
Where did you learn?
Billy Brownless.
I thought so. I'd say it's just more of sniffing the general consensus of these items and being able to locate things that are like it. And then the police would make the ultimate decision as to whether that is it or it isn't. But that's better than humans who can't smell things looking for them, hey?
Humans just going around smelling for things. What else are we going to train these dogs to do?
I've got no idea, but you know, the
food
future's
and electronic
endless,
devices,
isn't it?
Maybe shoes.
There's been a lot of tech shows
I
going around.
Track. I don't know, dude. We'll think of something. We'll put these dogs to work.
There has been a lot of tech shows recently.
Tech shows? Like on TV, on the internet?
No. Radio I mean shows? Like physical...
Oh, like yeah, like... Shows.
Shows. Like, IFA's been happening overseas. Yes. And one of the things from IFA and from the LG camp was a great little device which you can attach to old, dumb appliances.
Mm, my toaster, maybe.
Yeah. Temperature and motion sensors is what it's got in it.
I can detect when my toast pops.
Little circular device, yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm so excited.
Well, that's what essentially what you could do with it. You could put it on a washing machine, for example, and detect when that has done a cycle. So it could send you a notification to your phone and go, washing's done.
Yeah, so I can put this, no, forget the washing, let's get back to my toast. I can put on toast in the kitchen, then I can go all into my room, which is maybe on the other end of the house.
Yep.
Watch a video or something or read an article because you can often get distracted and carried away and, you know, 2 minutes turns into 10, 15 minutes and then you forget about your toast.
And this is why
I'm feeling hungry
again.
Then you go over to your toast and you're like, it's all cold now and I have to reheat my toast or put it on again. But this now, I'd get a notification to my phone buzzing.
To say
my
toast
has popped,
is done.
And then bang, I'd go get my toast.
But disclaimer, I wouldn't use my toaster in this situation because you shouldn't. You shouldn't walk away from a toaster. It's not safe, dude.
Yeah, I do it all. But
it's not safe,
I'm
dude.
Burn the house down.
That is not safe.
No one puts the toast in, stands and waits.
You stand around the area that the toaster is.
No.
So that you can run to it if something goes wrong.
What? Okay.
When I make toast in the kitchen, I'm usually doing a couple of things. I'm making a coffee. I'm making toast.
I suppose.
I've got a dining room nearby and a table there, so I might go and look at the paper while it's toasting, but I'm not far away from it. It's not safe walking into another room and doing something like that. So
do it at your own risk.
Anyway.
That's a really cool device. What other sort of things could you use this for? Washing machine. That's a really good one because you forget about that.
Temperature sensor. You can use it to check temperatures in your rooms. So you could have it there detecting when it gets real cold. And then if your reverse cycle appliance is, you know, smartphone controlled or you've got something on it which would allow you to switch it on with your smartphone, you could get that notification and then go, all right, well, I'll turn it on and it'll be warm before I get home.
That's handy.
Beautiful. Lovely little idea.
How much? Any idea on price?
No pricing or release at the moment. Yeah. Just an official display
this
of the
gadget.
Item.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool. It better not be too expensive.
Yeah,
because like you'd want to keep it cheap so heaps of people would get them and use them. But
yeah,
I like the washing machine one.
As long as the pricing is right, that could be a fantastic little gadget.
Price it as much as a Chromecast or something.
Yeah,
like $50 or less. Then
yeah,
I'd
true,
buy it.
True, true. And that's the tech stories from trent.net.au for this week.
That's really cool. What is that? What is that? Trent.net.au.
That is my website.
I'm plugging your website, man.
I've plugged TechRap on my pod.
TechRap.
On my website.
TechRap podcast. Wait, what is it? I don't even know. TechRap.net.
Yes,
that's TechRap. The only website you need,
I
suppose.
I plug
Trent.net as well.
I plug my podcast... our podcast through my chats as well, mind you, sir.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Neat.
Check it out. What can we find on your website while we're at it?
You can find some news stories that I've covered during the week. You can find audio from some of my chats as well. You can also find a list of websites, of stations that do my chats.
Should link across to it on techwrap.net.
Yeah, well, I should at some stage.
That.
Haven't done it yet.
Get a like, have your clickable logo. You click on your logo and go to your website. And then back on yours can have the TechRap podcast logo. And we can do a little back and forth. That'd be cool. Hey, you know, we've got some pretty smartwatch news.
We do have smartwatch news.
Last day or
back.
Something, we've got a heap of new information on various smartwatches. We'll go into a little bit more detail, but just really quick. I saw TomTom are now getting into smartwatches because we'll talk about this. The Moto 360 second gen, the Huawei. The Huawei watch, the Samsung Gear S2, And in recent times, I guess, we'll throw in the Apple Watch in that bundle as well, because you have one. We can talk about it a little bit. So lots of new sort of second-gen smartwatches, if you will, because, you know, last year, I think, was really the big, a lot of new, fresh stuff coming through.
Testing ground for smartwatches.
Yeah, and now they've kind of evolved and people have seen what everyone else is doing. You know, the second-gen Moto 360, the new Samsung Gear Watch, who've all had a lot of watches. Huawei.
Go to Huawei.
They're getting on board with the watches.
Anyway.
So before we began the podcast, we had a quick look at some videos of these watches.
Yes.
And so let's just do a quick of our thoughts briefly. We only had a brief watch. So the Samsung Gear S2, that was kind of teased a lot, but we never really saw any sort of official hands-on. Well, I think we're still getting there. This was a very really early release video that we had a look at. But it gave us a look at the more sort of the functionalities of the watch and how it's actually used, which is really cool. And the big things that I like, it's of course a circular design. I'm sure you've seen pictures of it. But the top of the watch is an actual scrollable
jog dial thing.
So you can actually navigate menus and switch watch faces,
which I like very much,
all sorts of things just by rotating the top of the watch, which is really cool because, you know, you don't have to fiddle around with your finger or worry about your finger up covering up an app and not seeing what you're doing.
Yeah,
you can have the whole watch interface clean and you can rotate through apps, messages, all things like that. Of course, it's going to be running some variation of the Samsung software, so it isn't going to be Android Wear, which is the only sort of downside I see, because I'd like to have the Android Wear and all the updates that come with it instead of having to wait for the new Samsung software that they tend to release only when they release new hardware.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to update software on the older devices.
And you have the problem with Samsung that even when you are running a variant of Android or you know, whatever, they tend to like to customize it. So it takes you ages to get an actual release after Google's done their updates.
Yes, because you have to wait for Samsung to come out with it.
Which is frustrating.
And sometimes, I guess, people with the whole TouchWiz, people say that it bogs it down a little bit. And especially when you're running on a smartwatch, which is such a little device with not as much processing power, anything that would bog down a system, I'm going to be wary of. Now, whether or not that does or does not, we don't know. Like, we haven't been hands-on.
Well, we've only seen
it
videos.
It is a concern that I have with, you know, third-party sort of software. But overall, it looked really cool, very smart, very stylish.
I like the way that the apps go around the edges.
Yeah, on like
so
circles
when you
around
decide
the edges.
On what they are, yeah. And when you've decided on what you have using the jog dial, you can press in the middle and select the text that you see, because the text appears to say what app it is, and you can press on that and it'll open the app. So you're not pressing a dodgy little icon like, say, Apple Watch, for instance. Although you can do much like what you do with the Apple Watch with that jog dial. You can scroll around and work out what you're looking for, and then, like on the Apple Watch, I can do the scroll wheel thing and it goes into the app. So
they both have their ways about doing things. The second one we had a look at was the Moto 360 second gen. Now, this is probably like one of the most sort of hyped smartwatches, because they were a huge hit and they were by far the most popular Android Wear watch. The Moto 360, that they were the ones that sort of pioneered the circular watch face in smartwatches, which I'm a huge fan of. The square ones are a bit too big and bulky, and I didn't really find the appeal. But they came with the first circular one, and it looked great. And I think my biggest gripe, and I think probably maybe yours as well, was the flat tire.
I like the way you refer to it as flat tire.
Down the bottom there. So it wasn't a perfectly clean.
It's not a full circular watch. No, they got that little bezel thing at the bottom and it cuts off the display. And it was even proven in some of the videos showing it. It was cutting off watch faces, which is ridiculous. So, well, nobody else does it, do they?
I was waiting for the Moto 360, the second gen of the watch, to come out to hopefully resolve that issue and not have the flat tire there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I cannot wait for this.
I love how you call it flat tire.
That's what most people sort of called it.
It makes me laugh at how you call it that every time.
So I was really hoping that wasn't going to be the case with the second gen. They'd find a way to get rid of it and it'd be a really nice clean. But from the photos we saw and the video, it looks like the flat tire is back.
It is back. It is back. And it is, it's not going anywhere in a hurry, surprisingly enough.
So hopefully, I don't know, I guess we'll find out more as it unfolds. It's still like very early days in these smartwatches, but it looks like it might be back. So that's a bit disappointing. But I think we'll see more optimized software. We'll see things will be zippier, faster. The watch itself will have better hardware. So that will be great. Mm-hmm. TomTom smartwatches. Now, they're going to be we're on time limit now. What is this? Getty's showing me a timer.
I opened up a timer to show him how we're going.
So they're going to release a series of watches because, you know, who has a TomTom GPS? Back in the day, they were huge. You had them in your car. No one had smartwatches.
And you understand the reasons why people don't have them these days, yeah. Don't you?
Not GPS are built in basically every device. I've got GPS built into my toaster and it doesn't go anywhere. It sits in my kitchen.
You're just being an idiot. You are just being an idiot.
They're in all devices. They're redundant. You don't need them anymore.
Yeah, and you know, another reason why people have been abandoning these traditional GPS units is the fact that the companies want money for the updates. With a lot of smartphone apps, like I use one called Sigic, because, you know, sometimes Google Maps doesn't cut the mustard. And Sigic provides me free updates to its software for the life of me using the software. Yeah. So,
and I mean, like Google Maps, you don't need, you know, it's all free. Apple Maps is all free. And then you can get like the Open Street Maps, I think it is called, which is just like open directory for everyone. So yeah, no one's paying for software updates or anything. So they're slowly going out of business. And I guess they got to find another revenue of income. And smartwatches may be the way to go because, you know... I guess the name still holds value because they were a really
reputable,
solid, you know, GPS, the good directions, good maps. So maybe people will get into the smartwatches.
And some of these companies are helping out people like Google with their mapping technology still.
Well, there you go.
Where is a fine example here in Australia who provided mapping data. They are helping Google to fix map issues that they've got at the moment because they know our country better than Google does in relation to terrain. So
the one I was looking at was the TomTom Spark.
Spark. Yeah, what does the Spark have to offer?
GPS and a watch face.
Okay. Okay.
The other smartwatch was the Huawei watch. Now, this one definitely did stand out to us as we were watching it. It looks... like a really sort of high-end, classy watch.
Which is not what you usually get
really
with Huawei.
Beautiful sort of watch. It's a very premium-looking thing. And they've, you know, had you can get customizable bands and colors. And it has a nice, beautiful circular watch face with no bars or flat tires or anything. And it looked really nice. It's running Android Wear as well, which is like a huge plus. It seemed to run pretty smooth, what we saw. It's
the UI
a gorgeous
was looking,
looking watch,
great.
Wasn't it?
The UI was looking great. The appeal of looking down at the watch on someone's arm was nice too. The only disappointing thing was the thickness of the device.
Yeah,
it looked to be pretty thick.
A little bit thicker, but if you have big hands, it wouldn't really sort of matter too much.
But given that Huawei is a company who makes fairly cheap products, that is the most impressive Huawei-based device that I have ever seen.
Looked like something you'd find in a proper watch store or a jewellery store.
And that's what they're aiming to compete with as well.
A proper high, you know, these gold-class watches. Mm. It's so expensive. It looked really, really nice. The only disappointing thing we saw was the charging dock, though.
Yeah, the charging dock was a killer, given that everything looks so great, including the packaging.
Yes.
They package it up like a real watch rather than just putting it in a usual tech box. Mm. But the charger... Everybody else is doing these.
A beautiful dock.
Metallic, drop it on the metallic drop.
And you can have your watch sort of sitting up looking at you. Like if you're on bed or on your desk, you can just take it off, put it on the dock. There it is. It lights up.
These guys have got the idea like the Apple Watch, except they don't have the charging ability of the Apple Watch. Mm. So they've got those little metal pins sitting on one edge of it, and you've got to have it correct in that.
And it's
to be able to charge.
Flat as well, facing down.
Which is completely ridiculous.
You can't even have it sitting on your bedside table next to you.
No.
Just flat. So that was weird. And from such a premium looking watch, they came just skimped on the charging dock.
Which
is a bit disappointing.
It will kill off some people. Jeez, I had some trouble with that one.
So hopefully we're going to see like improved battery life on all these watches from previous years and things. Mm. But time will tell as they come out and reviews start coming in, and maybe we'll be able to get hands on some.
Yeah. Hey, it'll be interesting to see how battery technology goes with smartwatches over time. You know, I'm not particularly fazed. Some people go, like even like older people, like I happen to be talking about smartwatches to my mother, and she goes, "Oh, but you have to charge that thing every night, don't you?" And it's like, well, I have to charge my phone every night. I just put them down and go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with that?
But like, yeah, I guess because, you know, maybe people that weren't in that generation of this are used to having their watch on 24/7.
Yeah.
And they, of course, they didn't have mobile phones that they charged every night. So, yep. You know, it's second nature for us. We get home, we plug our mobile charger in. So it's the same thing. It's no big deal to take off your watch, put it in the dock. And it makes it handy if you have a really nice dock as well.
I need a dock. I need a dock. I'm only, like, what am I now? 2 weeks in and
yeah, so last but not least is the Apple Watch.
It is. What about it?
Just to wrap our smartwatches up.
Oh, yes. So
you've now into your second week.
I'm into my second week.
Of the Apple Watch. Have you discovered some new things? Tell us about more how you've incorporated it or maybe not incorporated it into your everyday life.
I haven't got too much to say. I've found,
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I've found some applications. Well, it's mainly a time issue. We're talking about watches.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I just haven't had time to do a lot with it. But, you know,
integrating nicely in everyday life, though? Well, is it making your life easier?
It is, because I'm doing a lot of text messages just over Siri on this, and the recognition, I reckon, has been better on the Apple Watch than it has on the phone itself.
There you go.
Which people don't believe because...
It's hard to think about, yeah.
Because the microphone in those phones is better than what maybe is in here, but it just seems to be picking it up better. So I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed being able to quickly check, you know, things like my email on the go, just opening that up and looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Another great thing I found in recent days was an application which allows me to utilize Spotify.
Ah, so tell us about it.
I can. It's a voice recognition thing, so I can find a song and open it up on the app on the phone.
So you listen to a song, like a song might be playing?
No. You can tell it what song you want. And it'll
open it's just like Siri on your phone, yeah, on the Spotify playlist.
Yeah, for Spotify.
Yes.
Which is good. So I don't know whether I can open something.
Are you going to demonstrate for us here?
I've got to think of a song name. I can't even think of a song's name. Oh, here
Do
we go.
Do something by Peking Duck.
Here we go. Oh, hang on.
Peking Duck.
Oh, stupid text message.
I want to listen
up
to some Peking Duck.
Play George Michael, Faith.
That's not what I requested.
It's not what you requested, but that's what I requested.
So you said that to your watch?
I've said that to my watch, and it's currently opening up the application. It's actually...
I feel like I could have Googled this quicker. You just found it on YouTube.
I know.
Maybe if you're in your car, though, you're driving.
But you've got it already open, so...
Oh, action happening.
Hang on.
I feel like we should plan this stuff. Can't find that.
Yes, we should plan this stuff. This never works. So
it
here...
It never works.
Play George Michael, Faith.
That was extra quiet.
And because I'm going to have this open when I've got that open, so yeah. I'm actually going to have it, not like we were just then.
Yes. Oh, that's something happening. Oh, no, I see a picture of a guy and he's staring off into the distance. There we go. So that's kind of cool, I guess. But is
all
that...
All right, that's enough.
Is that...
That's enough for today.
So you've been enjoying it, like the Apple Watch? You're not having any sort of second doubts about it?
I had second thoughts in terms of the fact that it's not a fully fledged like steps counter, because I was doing a lot of...
You said you were going to investigate maybe
tracking
to find a better fitness app. Any luck?
Yeah, I haven't got there. I just haven't had time, you
so
know.
So busy.
I work in radio 5 days a week. You work...
The Apple Watch is meant to make your life easier.
You work 7 hours a day. Yeah. Then you go home and I live an hour from work... And then I also do not-for-profit commitments as well. Where
you're a saint.
I volunteer.
You're a god.
So sometimes you just don't find time to figure these things out. So I think it needs more time to kindle. Like I'm not getting the disappointment pains and going, why the hell did I buy this thing? And I'm not like ready to jump on eBay and put it up.
Yeah.
One thing that prevents me from doing that is this scratch.
Heartbreaking, wasn't it? You came in and you told me you almost, I just saw the disappointment in your face.
Last Friday, being a keen tech user and not keen on damaging things, I was rushing into work and we've got metal stair rails on the way into work, and I managed to bump it. And it bumped it in the greatest place ever. It's where the little wheel is between the wheel and the button. And it's a good old little scrape on it. And there's two of them. And you just look at it and you go...
Cuts deep. The first one.
I don't like this. It spoiled it. It looks awful.
I know. And then you can't, whenever you look at your watch, you see the scratch. And I bet it's not even that bad because you tried to show someone else. You're like, oh, I scratched my watch. And they're like, where was it? And you had to point it out and they had to get a magnifying glass out.
You have to shine the light on it.
You can barely see it. But no, I'm definitely with you. Like when you get a brand new phone or any sort of brand new tech device, the first time you do scratch it or damage it or dent the corner, it is heartbreaking. But then you kind of get over it.
And I have to wonder how the Huawei watch will stand those
sort
of things. Yeah,
like you buy those brand new premium ones.
It looks lovely, but is it going to batter up? I think the darker variants of it might, because the darker stuff would be a coating, whereas the silvery looking ones would be like an actual sort of it's in the metal sort of thing.
It seems like the smartwatches are where all the money is too. It's like roughly just on prices. It's not just like a stock watch now, is it? You get the watch and then you can get accessories, you can get watch bands, you can get different colours, and they charge more money for all this sort of stuff. It's ridiculous. Just give us a watch for one price.
Apple's a fine example of that.
Well, I think most of these are. Like the Moto 360 is going to be, these are all US prices, by the way.
Yeah.
Going to be starting at $299 and going up to $429, which is kind of, it's like probably the most reasonable.
Yeah.
The Huawei watch, $350. Get this. This is the nicest one, we reckon. You can get the base model $350.
Huawei.
But you can get Huawei all the way up to, I'm never going to get that right, by the way. $350 US all the way up to $800.
$800.
If you get the most expensive, like, gold band with all the extras, $800, that's more than a phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Who would want to invest more than a phone in a smartwatch? But then again, there are idiot Apple users who spend $15,000 on a gold-plated watch. And
yes,
it's like,
exactly.
might be 18 carat, but, you know, 18 carat's not going to last 5 years.
Definitely the majority of people will not be spending that much. The Apple Watch is about $350 and the Gear S2 is yet to be announced. So they all seem to be around the $300 to $400 mark is the smartwatch range. But I still think that's too much because you think every year they're going to release a new model, they're going to update the software, and you think of the hardware limitations on these watches, that when they release new software, they might new features, skins, more watch faces, more intensive applications, the hardware is not going be able to keep up, so you're gonna have to buy new hardware, and you're spending what, $350, $400, maybe up to $500 if you're Australian, on smartwatches, plus $800 on a phone. What are we spending, $1,500-$1,600 a year on devices, phone plus smart? They should bundle them. I want to see bundles.
That'd be cool.
A Galaxy Note 4 with a S2 for $800. But reasonable bundles, not just the price on top of it. Give us some incentive to get the bundles. So lots of smartwatch news this week. Check it out. Like, look at some videos and pictures yourself. Maybe you want to pick up a smartwatch this year.
Look at smartwatches now and just think, well, you know, they're probably in their second year of evolution at this point in time. Like the idea in some early models and stuff that companies have been working on have been around before then, but, you know, they've only been to market in the last year or two, and really getting thoughts and techniques and what have you down pat.
So. Yeah, so I think the first generation of smartwatches was definitely the sort of just sit back and wait and see as a consumer. The hardcore tech enthusiasts are the ones going out there buying these watches.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've had a chance to sort of see them and they've made improvements this year, do you think this year is the year, maybe if you were thinking about dabbling in a wearable technology or a smartwatch, do you think this is the year maybe to jump on board? Or do you still think it's too early, maybe wait another year?
Yeah, if the pricing is not too excessive, maybe it is time to jump in. But you know, if you are real price conscious and you really want to see that you get something that can go an extra mile, maybe it might be time to wait another year and have a look at where they are next year. And there may be something then. Because, you know, you look at all the things you can do on it now, but then sometimes you look at some things and they seem a bit underwhelming. Yeah. Like there's a couple of apps on the Apple Watch which you open, you're like, you get and you open, or they've just come bundled with, you know, some of the apps you've already had. And you look at it and you go, well, this doesn't really do much at all. What the hell do I have it for? Like, you know, this is sad, you know.
It's almost like the heart rate sensors on the back of your smartphones.
Yeah.
They advertise it, S Health, big feature.
Look at this.
And you're like, you kind of buy into it. You're like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. And then you try it a few first times. Oh, what's your heartbeat? Oh, what's your heartbeat? And then you compare it with people, but then you kind of never use it.
And then
again.
You go, you're well, like, oh. To do this every time, I've got to hold my phone in a stupid position.
Oh, and then half the time it doesn't work and doesn't register it. And you got to do it again and again and again. And you're just like, oh, whatever. And it's just like one of those things.
You know, it's like putting extra ashtrays in a car. Most of us don't smoke. So they don't become any use to us.
These days. This is a funny one that I saw this week. It's maybe you've heard about this. Maybe you haven't. It's an app that you can get, or a web page that you can visit. Now, sometimes I need to get away from people, and people just annoy me, right? And I want to avoid them. Do you ever get into this type of mood?
Yeah, sometimes.
You want to go somewhere, but you don't want to go to some crowded venue, and you don't like people that much. I want to go to somewhere that isn't a lot of people, because people suck.
Yep.
There's a website and an app. It's called Avoid Humans.
Wow.
Have you seen this?
So no,
this
I
is
haven't.
A web-based app that combs data from Foursquare and Instagram check-ins.
To see where people are.
Yes. This is giving you the nearest places in your area with the least amount of humans. Okay? So obviously this is going to work better in bigger cities where more people sort of check in and use these apps.
In America.
So the app is divided into four categories. There's nightlife, food, coffee, and refuge. Okay? And each one is then, so you can search for your area and it'll pull up all these things. And then they're color-coded, the places, to indicate the current level of human presence.
Ooh.
Right? For convenience. So here are the codes. Green is welcome agoraphobics. Okay.
Welcome agoraphobics.
So welcome, minimal disturbance, minimal human presence. Uh-huh. You're going to have a good time here if you want to avoid people. Yellow is classified as judgment call.
Judgment call.
And in brackets on their website, they have assuming you have good judgment.
Okay.
Red is run. Simple,
Don't
easy to
there.
Remember.
Don't
there
go
you there. Go. So... of course, this only works if people do check into places.
Yes.
We kind of live in an area that isn't a huge city, and I don't think many people use Foursquare or Instagram check-ins. So this app would then say everywhere's good, even though it lies, and we'll rock up and it'll be full of people and we'll hate every minute of it.
Yeah, Facebook is more of a thing that we do around here than
That needs
Foursquare.
To pull more data from more places, but that's a funny idea, isn't it?
Foursquare kind of had a bit of a following, but people went, well, I have to open another app, so I don't care. I can't be arsed.
I love that those little websites that come out like that.
Because you go to a local liquor store and it says, check in here on Foursquare. And it's like, who does that?
And another one Another one I saw was Poop Fiction.
Poop Fiction.
Poop Fiction. So it's a website you can visit when you go to
the
toilet.
Are you crapping me?
I'm not shitting you. This is a website you can visit when you go to the toilet, and you can tell you how you can implement how long you think you'll be, okay? Tiny, short, medium, or long. Tiny is 1 to 2 minutes, then 2 to 3 minutes, 4 to 5.
And I
then
thought what you were talking about the size of it.
This is how long you think you're going to be on the toilet. And then it'll pull you a story to read for that amount of time. So you can read a story while you're on the toilet.
That is better than the app one of the guys at work was showing me the other day, which was like, it was like a ability to open an app and connect with someone else who was on the shitter at the same time.
Oh,
and
really?
Have conversations.
So it's an app just designed to connect people that are on the toilet at that point in time.
Yes.
You check in on the toilet and you go, hey, how's yours going?
Yes.
Good. Struggling over here.
Been in here for 15 minutes.
I need to check it.
It's a hard day.
What's it called?
I can't remember what the app was. Because
I need to find that. That's right.
Because that surprised me to see that people have actually been doing that. And he opened it up and showed me, he connected with
someone and started having a conversation.
Oh, that's cheating if you're not on the toilet,
like,
though.
Wow, okay. Glad it doesn't have a photo function built in, because that could get very scary, especially considering things like chat roulette got very scary.
Oh, very quick.
Great concept, but it went wrong way too quick.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I got.
So let's do some quick headlines.
Did you want to quickly touch on the Tesla?
Oh, well,
the new electric car.
I would have called it a bit of a quick headline sort of thing, but
it's the before the quick head, maybe.
So Elon Musk has introduced the new Tesla vehicle that is going to be coming out very soon. By very soon, I mean very soon in terms of Tesla needs to build a factory to be able to build it, given that they're only just surviving making the models that they are now. It's called Model 3. It's going to be a smaller...
Is that the final name, Model 3?
Well, probably
working
not.
Title.
Working title. Model 3, it's going to be smaller than the other vehicles. So at the moment they have, you know, a normal sort of full-size family four-door car, and then they're doing SUVs, your bigger four-wheel drive style vehicles. But they're going to do a smaller model, so say, let's call it the Toyota Corolla of Tesla.
So this is a more affordable sort of mass market for the everyday consumer that is after an electric car but maybe couldn't afford
it. Can't pay hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever they ask.
I think it's out of reach for probably most people.
Yeah, so they're looking at $35,000, which in Australia is about $50,000. Which, you know, it's still expensive for a car, but if you're looking for what Tesla offers in their vehicles, and they're quite, you know, quite amazing feature sets and what have you, you know, it could be the one. 2 years it's going to take for them to be able to get them into full production, but after that such time, you know, you may be able to afford a Tesla. And I was thinking, you know, if the figures are all right on like how long batteries last, what sort of charge you can put into the batteries and what sort of distances I could drive, you know, I'd be more than happy, even though I detest the idea of, you know, financing a car, I would be more than happy to put the money into this Tesla vehicle.
Really?
Because I wouldn't have the expenses like I do with my standard vehicle. I'm paying off a car. And I'm paying, like, you know, say $120 a week in fuel, for instance.
$120 a week.
Wow. Yeah, because I drive back and forth and I drive 45 minutes every day, and then you might do some extra kilometres around town.
You have to do some maths on how much
so
you can save.
It might be like a bit more expensive than the price range I usually look for in a car. But
in the long run.
In the long run, you know, you're charging it using electricity, and in some cases, joining the Tesla family, they've got like charging stations and all that sort of stuff. So,
do we have any around here?
Setting up in Wodonga at the moment.
Oh.
So about 5 to 10 minutes drive from us at near the exhibition centre there, they are building charging stations, and they've got like
who has five or more charging stations. Electric cars?
Now you might say that you might have said that.
Now
I don't know the person, but there is someone who lives within an hour of here who owns a Tesla who gets
around.
So they're
basically building this for one guy
at
the moment,
and his red J plates. A Tesla.
Oh, of course, he has a custom number plate.
but they've been building them all along the Hume Highway in various towns, like Goulburn, opening at the visitor centre in Goulburn, and there's a few charging stations there as well, so that people can do that trip from Sydney to Melbourne in a Tesla.
How long does it take to recharge at these days? That's incredible.
45 minutes or something.
You sit down and have like a meal.
So you could
stop for dinner.
Sit down and stop for dinner and have a charge.
That's crazy.
And then keep cruising.
Well, that's kind of good because I think it's the first step towards the more, you know, really affordable electric vehicle. And I think maybe in, you know, 5 to 10 years, we'll see that price come in half again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 15 years, everyone will be driving them.
Mm. And more affordable given the way they've set up the Tesla thing. Like you seem to, by the looks of things, you join the Tesla family and you've got access to these charging stations and what have you, which means, you know, you're not opening your wallet every time you're putting juice into your vehicle.
They don't charge you for the charging.
I don't believe they charge for charging, which is, you know, one of the benefits.
Whatever happened to solar powered cars? I want that free all the time, every day.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Maybe we should start a solar company.
Quick headline time.
Quick headlines.
This is the quick headline of the week.
We got to get the proper jingle for episode 10 next week. So I think we should try and aim to have a nice intro for it.
Yeah, we'll see how we
go
with it.
Along the lines of, these are the technology headlines of the week. These are the tech headlines of the week. Geddes, give me some quick headlines. Let's just record that.
Yeah,
and just play
something
that.
Something like that.
And we're done. So quick headlines. They're just really sort of quick news stories. That the story is more sort of just in the title. It's not really super in-depth, but it's quick head.
I thought I had less than you, but I can see
equal
amounts.
Well, I have a few, but like I might scrap them depending on what you have.
So I've only got fairly quick ones.
Because we don't know what each other has.
So we've been talking Huawei recently. And Huawei has been at the IFA conference overseas.
Yes.
They were looking a little bit like a full-on stage with their smartphones. They unveiled a demonstration whereby they weighed an orange with one of their phones to show what force the screen could take. It was a nice idea, but it was pretty pointless.
Okay.
Who's going to weigh something on their phone?
No one. All right. So my Android Wear is now available on iOS.
Which is about time. Now, Apple needs to do the same thing for Android.
Apple Watch on Android phones.
And people will think, you know, this will be, you know, people will consider either variants a lot more than they currently do.
That's great. So yeah, now you can, if you have an iPhone, now you can get the Moto 360 or the Moto 360 second gen and use it with your iPhone before it was Android only.
Which is cool.
Very cool.
Mozilla is keen to roll out Firefox to iOS. At the moment, they're in testing. Yeah. Now, they opened a beta testing recently, but it closed quicker than you would even know it because they got more than they needed. You know, so it won't be too far around the corner, which is great because I'm using Chrome on my...
Hello.
Musical.
Hello.
I'm using Chrome on my iOS phone,
yeah,
but I don't like it. It doesn't work very well.
Well, in comparison, as per we were saying before, right down there,
Firefox
on my Android phone. So there you go. Speaking of Android apps and on devices,
yes,
Android Skype for Android just recently got a full sort of design makeover to conform with the new, the material design of the latest Android OS. So Skype is now full material design and it looks gorgeous and it's really intuitive and easy to use. Before it was all big and bulky and cluttered if you used it on an Android phone, but now it's beautiful. Go check it out, Skype.
Wonderful. Well, that's it for
updated.
Me.
All right, I got a few more then. Millennials, they reckon, this was a survey done of about 20,000 people and analytics taken from devices and things like that. They reckon millennials are now watching 53% of TV on mobile devices.
Now, just stop for a sec. Define millennials.
People, right, born 2000 onwards.
Oh, yes. So they're watching...
So 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds.
They're watching these
things. They reckon 50% of surveyed people are watching them on tablets and mobile devices. This is TV.
Yeah,
I mean,
I feel like we
should be included because I do that as well. Like, I think a lot of people do.
Understand that, but more people of our age group watch those physical things that's up in the corner of the building here, TV screens.
Another one was a drone crash interrupted the US Open over in America. There was a black drone. I love a good drone story. And it was flying about and it crashed into the seats.
Was that the media doing it?
I don't know who it was, but there you go. So... Man, we're going to see tighter drone regulations coming.
Oh,
from all
yeah,
this sort of stuff,
even tighter given the fact that that's happened in an event. I've seen several spectacular drone crashes since we last had a convo, including one where a TV news crew decided they would try one out in a city and they got it up in the air and then shot it about 5 or 10 meters over from where they were, straight into the side of a building, and the whole thing was just obliterated.
It's one of those things that every day we're going to have this drone sort of stuff. So we're always going to have these great drone stories. Mm. And the last one here that I thought was interesting, Facebook patents a new a method to sell your credit worthiness to lenders based on your friends. Now, we're not saying that they're implementing this or plan to. They're just sort of covering their bases, I guess, maybe so no one else can. But how about that? I have some dodgy friends on Facebook. Imagine if people are looking at my friends before they decide to lend me money. That's never going to happen.
No, I do not.
It's a funny idea, though, isn't it?
I do not want that. I have several.
I don't think anyone would want that.
I have dodgy people on my Facebook. I'm not going to name names because that would be very
terrible to them because they might be nice people, but they might be dodgy. Yeah, if you know what I mean.
Well, we're not. They don't know. They probably won't use it, but they're just sort of. People paint in crazy things all the time.
I'll tell you one more thing I can close on with these tech headlines of the week, just because it's very funny. The news headline that I read in the newspaper, the Australian Business Review, everyone is getting keen for the new Apple press conference, which is happening this coming Thursday.
All aboard the hype train, toot toot.
So the Australian Business Review, the technology editor from Melbourne, decided to write the headline, Apple may reveal iPad Pro next week. And there's plenty of mays in this article. The first line goes, the latest iteration of the iPhone may not be the only Apple device that lifts its lid on next week. And it's like, well, yeah, may. Everything may happen. Everything may not happen.
Yeah.
Things may happen.
A meteor may crash into the earth next week.
But may. Is may enough information to write a headline? Yeah. No.
Speaking of headlines, those were the technology headlines of the week. Yeah, you get the idea.
Yep. Quick headlines.
Well, there you go.
Wrapped up.
Beautiful.
TechWrap wrapped up. Wrapped
done.
Up. Online at techwrap.net. You can find us on iTunes. We're on player.fm. There was one other one as well that I've seen floating about.
Yep.
But, you know, they're all different places. You can have a bit of a listen and have a crack at the show. Also had a few suggestions about the idea of doing some sort of radio show in terms of the podcast being made into something else.
Yeah, who knows? Ever growing, ever expanding, ever improving.
We're having a crack at this.
We welcome the feedback.
We love feedback, so just have a chat with us.
Reach out.
We're on Twitter. You can find us, TechWrap Podcast. We're online at techwrap.net. We've got a contact page up there, so you can send an email to
just reach out
to us that way.
Stretch your arm out, reach out. You can touch us. I can
reach
always touch
out
you.
And touch somebody.
There we go. We just touch.
Yeah. Enough karaoke.
There you go. It's been a pleasure.
Till next time.
See you then.